Welcome to the Polymath Project. This is Armon. Today is Monday, April 20th, 2020. This is the first episode of season two. It's good to be back with you all. I hope the message finds everyone safe and in good spirits, good health, as good as can be on all fronts in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic. We're here in the beginning of month two. In parts of the country like where we are in Jersey City, New York, of the stay-at-home orders. Not everyone's necessarily abiding by it 100%, but for the most part, people have been cooperative and collaborative and just riding it out, hoping that things can get back to close to the way they were, although I don't believe things are going to go back. We do have to march forth, move forward, look ahead, and adapt to some type of new reality that we don't really know what it's going to look like at this point. As you all know, anyone that's tuned in to season one, the Polymath Project is essentially an effort to bring together thought leaders, real thought leaders, people that are problem solvers. We don't want to spend too much time focused on and talking about the problems. We all know the problems, like what we're going through now. It's well documented. What I want to do is bring about and have conversations with people that can bring solutions to the table, real solutions. And that's why we talk about our show is not a talk show. It's an action experiment. And each show, each episode comes along with a challenge to the audience, to the listeners, to the world, essentially, to take on a certain type of role. Each of us has a part to play, and the kind of thought leaders like who we're bringing on today in our first show, a good and old friend of mine, one of my best friends. We grew up in Staten Island together, played soccer. He's doing some amazing things with a nonprofit, a 501c3, by the name of Sips and Kicks. His name is Chad Dichtenberg, and I'm going to invite him at this moment now to tell you more about the organization and the inspiring work that he's done over the last 7 to 10 years. Cool, man. Thanks for being on. I know you've been working hard for the last, you know, 7+ years with Sips and Kicks. Why don't you give just a brief overview, A, of what inspired you, maybe a little bit about your background and how you kind of came along this path and what inspired you to do all the things you're doing now and have been doing for almost 10 years now.
Yeah, of course. Before I do that, I just want to say thank you to everyone that's out there. There are millions and millions of heroes out there. I know everybody's spotlighting the healthcare workers, doctors, nurses. Of course, I just want to give like shout outs to the teachers, the administrators who are continuously, you know, educating the children on the online platform, sanitation workers who are, you know, we take these things for granted. They're picking up the garbage, they're picking up the recycling. We'd be in a war zone if they didn't do that, you know? Restaurant workers, people that work and deliver, you know, just trying to make money and keep everything going so they can feed their own children. So I just wanted to thank everyone there. But Sips and Kicks has been going on for a while. It's a passion of mine. I started it because I saw that my children had something that they were fortunate enough to have soccer practice and fortunate enough to, you know, go to a supermarket and pick out whatever they want to eat. And we could go home and make smoothies. But what about, you know, a majority of the country that doesn't have that? So we started Sips and Kicks with the intention of bringing free smoothies and free soccer to underserved schools and communities.
When did you guys start formally?
I started on my own, just bringing my blenders to schools in Hackensack and Newark. And then, you know, basically having the kids explore and experiment with whatever ingredients they wanted after we had a nice rigorous soccer practice where they got a good sweat going, had some fun. So I started that pretty much in 2015. Then we formally got our 501c3. A friend of mine is a lawyer, and he was really proactive on getting that done for us. And then, of course, you know, had my best friend Sinan Somani come on board, and you know, you of course helping on the marketing side of things and just trying to give back to other communities and give back to children, have the experience that we had.
So how does the program look in terms of, let's say, you talked about Newark or Hackensack, in terms of, you know, how often do you go in? How many kids do you see? How do you have this exchange, both on the health and nutrition side, as well as the physical fitness?
Yeah, no, it's a pretty unique program. I was a teacher for 12 years in Jackson Heights, Queens, and I saw that, you know, the kids were struggling with reading and math, but people didn't want to focus on, you know, first they're struggling on, they're obese, you know, they're struggling, they're not eating the proper things to give them energy. So how do we expect them to have these great scores on state tests? You know, they're not healthy, you know, besides all the other factors that we can discuss. I just wanted to give every child a chance at a healthy lifestyle, you know, but the program works now, the way we run it is we have relationships with different administrators, superintendents. We go into the school, offer up our program for free, basically tell them we're going to come once a week or twice a week, however the school wants to cater to their needs. And our soccer trainers, they'll work with the phys ed program. So they'll deliver soccer lessons from the start of the day till the end of the day. And then the smoothie either starts off for breakfast, we deliver, or we blend fresh at the school. Sometimes we see it works best on Fridays at dismissal time, because a lot of children don't know where their next meal is coming from. So in a nutshell, we're in the school, we're healthy partners for the school, bringing soccer to all these underserved communities, and then also trying to introduce children to healthy fruits and vegetables in a fun way, which is, we think, you know, having a nice smoothie, having a nice drink, it's also very simple.
So how many schools are you guys in at this point? Obviously not at the moment, but, you know, before schools shut down recently.
So we were operating in 15 schools, and we had a nice bit of momentum going before COVID kicked in, unfortunately. We just secured two nice contracts, two partnerships with New York City schools, where we were going to bring another 8 schools. We run an after-school program with NYSED, which is another nonprofit organization that would basically partner with us to bring soccer to those schools. We have interest now as we're sitting in COVID, because people are going to see the necessity of what we do and what other health and wellness organizations do when we get back. But we have a few people from Austria who want to start Sips and Kicks in Austria. And we also had some interest in Atlanta. So we're just trying to continue to do our grassroots, go slow, not try and get too crazy right away. But there definitely is interest to start it everywhere. I mean, who doesn't want free smoothies and free soccer training?
Sure. So then what is the infrastructure of that in terms of, I mean, who do we need to get on board to support? I mean, nothing's for free at the end of the day, right? So how do we, and what's your vision for how this can scale? And I mean, you've already scaled somewhat regionally. You guys have grown, and you've grown your capacity. So how have you been able to achieve that? You mentioned NYSED and some other organizations. Who else needs to get on board to help this?
I think just getting, you know, as we move forward and just meet new people in new schools and get to talk and spread the word of our mission, we're starting to see interest, obviously. But, you know, the big issue always is money. The big issue is funding. Now that I'm home and I'm not out and about, I've been working tirelessly on writing grants, you know, government funding. There's a lot of money. My worry is that when we get back to schools and we get back to some kind of normalcy in this country, the budgets for programs like this are going to be minimal. You know, they're going to, you know, teachers are getting paid as we speak. And they deserve it because they're doing a great job. But yeah, the budget is going to get hurt. So I think when you're saying how do we get people involved, I think big corporations that possibly want to partner with us and see our mission, some of these big businesses that are already, let's say like a Dole, who already has the produce, you know, or a Goya, these big companies, maybe they come in and supply us with that stuff for free so the costs are down. you know, and then we could still make our smoothies and bring it to the children.
Yeah. So let's shift gears for a minute, Chad. You know, growing the program, and obviously things are on hold now. What can families and kids do now? I mean, in all kinds of households across the country, across the world. I mean, there's as you said, folks that in a general normal setting can afford to do things and prepare good healthy food at home and have different choices at school, and there's those that can't. So speak to both or the whole full spectrum of folks, and what can we do now while we're not that much, and how can we be creative? How can we stay healthy? We can't really move around as much or be in school to get those smoothies.
Yeah, we're in a crazy time, as obviously everybody knows. What most people aren't realizing is, like, you know, we take for granted just walking to school, walking up and down the stairs in our schools, you know, playing in the playground after school real quick just to break a sweat. That exercise, great, you know. Kids are eating their normal food. There's a little bit of that balance, you know. Unfortunately, now you're taking all that away, and the kids are still eating that same food that they're eating, which is most of it carbs. And who knows, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people are out of work. Who knows the budget for food right now? So it might be even unhealthier foods coming in. So we're going backwards in a major way. You know, a lot of these children, our children that we work with, you know, they come from underserved communities. They have, you know, we all have different family structures. They might have one parent at home. They might have both parents working. So you have siblings taking care of little kids. For a lot of them, education is not the most important thing right now. It's just survival, you know? And then you take for granted, oh, I have a backyard. You know, I have a nice size house. I could go outside in my safe neighborhood and go for a jog or go for a bike ride. But a lot of these children that we serve, they're in dangerous neighborhoods. They're in tiny apartments. So it's going to require everybody working together in the family. It's going to require everybody being a little bit creative. In my house, we put together like a little workout chart. We also try to put together a schedule. Some tricks that I do with my kids is I basically set my alarm on my phone, because everybody pretty much has a phone, and set it for every like 2 or 3 hours. And then once that alarm goes off, do some exercise. You know, exercise that doesn't require having a backyard. Do some jumping jacks. Do some push-ups, some crunches, some sit-ups. Do some, you know, get a ball and do some toe tops. You know, do different things that you can do. It doesn't just have to be soccer, you know?
Yeah. You don't need a lot of space to have that fitness, as you said. You just have to be creative. Maybe, maybe next time. I know today we talked about getting on and want to get into your kitchen at some point and see, you know, some creative ideas for making some healthy smoothies at home. But maybe next time I want to see some of your skills and drills.
Yeah, we'll put a little smoothie together when we're done. The skills and drills, when you talk about that, there are so many organizations doing amazing things and putting amazing things out on the internet. All different club teams, MLS teams. I know that trainwithmls.com is free. You could go on there and do all these different drills. Like I said, some of the drills that you watch on their app or on their website, it takes a little bit of space. You know, they're outside, they're trying and they're doing a great job, you know. So you have to modify it, obviously. And certain things you might not be able to do in the space that you live in the apartment you live in. But there's no reason not to do exercise. There's no reason not to break a sweat. Hopefully we never have this situation again. But this is also a great time to, you know, get to know your family, get your creativity going, have a dance party, you know. My daughter loves to put the karaoke on the TV, and there's a dance party. You can get some good sweat going if everybody picks a song and everybody just jams. Yeah. So I think it's important to, you know, to take hold of this situation, but don't let it go too much. That's my biggest worry, that all the kids that we work with and, you know, all the kids around the world, they're going to go backwards. you know? So if you could incorporate a little bit healthier eating, drink more water, stay away from the chips, try and stay away from the cakes and the candies, because you're just going to tack on the weight, you know? And I know for me personally, when I don't feel fit, that affects me mentally, you know? So I can only imagine how it affects so many obese children who have low self-esteem already. And then, you know, so when we bring our Sips and Kicks program to the schools, I feel like all the kids are engaged. All the kids are smiling. They're laughing. They're sweating. You know what I mean? And it's an important thing.
Well, I've been to your programs, and it's been amazing to see, you know, the smiles on the kids' faces. And I remember the one time, I think it was in Englewood there, when we sat down and you were educating the kids, talking about the ingredients that are going in, and they didn't want the kale, and some of them never even had some of the healthy vegetables, you know, dandelions and other things that you were putting in. But once they're able to taste it, they were pleasantly surprised for the most part. So yeah, can you talk a little bit about the response and the reaction that you get from kids and some of the positive benefits? I know that you work with the school nurses in cases, and they actually are measuring the kids, you know, health indexes, things of that nature.
Yeah, of course. Obviously, I mean, I don't know, I'm sure everybody's paying attention to the news, but obesity is the one biggest factor right now for COVID. I mean, they talk about age, but obesity is the one biggest factor. And our country is extremely obese, and it's awful. And for me to sit here and say, you know, okay, every kid in my program, when you go to the supermarket, go buy turmeric, go buy some ginger, get a bunch of greens, get some kale, get some spinach, and then we'll throw them in your smoothies. It's not realistic. You know, parents are working on a budget. When they go to the supermarket, they want to be able to, you know, feed as many kids as they need to, as many adults in that household as they need to. So that 99-cent gallon of soda goes a lot further than, you know, a $4 Odwalla smoothie. You know what I mean? So we're trying to take the responsibility on ourselves and trying to work really hard to reach out to all these different organizations so we can bring those smoothies. I mean, our vision is, I just applied for grants actually yesterday. We were invited to apply for No Kid Hungry. Hope we get it. But our vision is that when the kids return to school, that we can pick certain locations, either schools, libraries, community centers, after school centers, where we could just drop off the smoothies and the kids can enjoy them. You know, we'll take care of the healthy ingredients. Instead of, you know, the ice cream man going around and selling something, we would just be the smoothie man and women, just delivering it for free though.
Yeah.
You know, with the help of different organizations. But, you know, when you talk about nutrients, we need so many different things. The one thing that even people that do have money are not doing, they're not drinking enough water. You know, we're not drinking nearly as much water. I mean, I know I don't, and I need to, constantly dehydrated, and I exercise. When you talk about the different greens, the different veggies, the different fruits, you know, now's a good time to get the vitamin C, and now's a great time to have the oranges, the grapefruit, you know, the lemons, the limes, you know, the mango and the pineapple. There are different things that kids should be consuming, the strawberries, and it takes making it fun, but it also takes the parents wanting to go out and purchase it. Yeah. When you go out, you know, and the kid decides what they want to do, and they say, hey, can you buy, you know, those small frozen bags of fruit and vegetables? Great. That's not super expensive. I'm not trying to get it out of reach, you know, like go buy, you know, a 4-pack of Asahi, which is, you know, $12, but we could all, you know, possibly purchase these cheaper fruits with the bananas. Bananas are relatively cheap, you know, the milks, the almond milks, you could throw that in the smoothie. Yeah. You can throw beans in there.
Yeah, I don't think it's always about, I mean, yeah, it is about the budget, of course, for you know, a large segment. But I think, as you said, it's more than that, because even people that do have the means aren't necessarily doing the healthy thing, you know. Right. And it's a matter of, like, they're, you know, people are consuming too much. I mean, I think there's just a general lack of education as far as how much food we really need, you know. We, like, eat when we're hungry and then we're snacking. lacking between Neil and quantity, which obviously the more quantity costs more money. You know, if everyone tapered it back, which I know is maybe it's wishful thinking, but I think it's also education. It's education from the top down. And kids are ultimately going to eat what their parents bring into the house. So it's like, how do we educate the parents? And then, you know, another question I had for you is in the schools themselves, we already have all this data about obesity and diabetes and so many health issues. I mean, this is the real health epidemic. It's been going on way before COVID, right? But with all that knowledge, how is it that kids still aren't able to get healthy meals in most schools? I mean, I know it's a bit of a political question, but what have you seen having worked in schools and now working with schools? It's like, is the will really there, or do they just feel beholden to lack of budget? Is it a budget question, or is it more corporate interests that dominate the food?
You know, I wish, I'm definitely not an expert on that. I could tell you from what I've witnessed, from being a teacher and from being in the schools and from being a parent and seeing different school systems and, you know, that come from different economic backgrounds. You know, you gotta make it fun. And there are some schools that do that. But when you just put something out there and say, oh yes, we offer salad, but no one's following up on it, most kids don't take it. When I was teaching, there's plenty of things to offer. You know, you can grab an orange, you can grab a banana, you can grab an apple, you know? They had to take their hot lunch, and they took it, and they took their chocolate milk off the tray, and they threw the food in the garbage, you know, because it's free. Because it's free, you know, we take things for granted a lot of times. I mean, we've gone to different schools in New York and Newark, Hackensack, all these different areas, Englewood, and we presented, I think, in a fun way, and I think that the children see that we're genuine. That's the big thing for me. So our athletic director, Sinan Salmani, is, you know, Sinan is one of my best friends. He's sincere. He's genuine. I'm genuine. When we go there, there's no baloney, you know, there's no messing around. It's not like, hey guys, please drink this. We talk to them in a way where we treat them like young adults and try to explain to them that it's good for you. Like you put gasoline in your car and it makes it run. You know, you don't put lemonade in your car because then your car doesn't go anywhere. So what are you putting into your bodies? You know, try to just educate them a little bit. Like, oh yeah, you have lemon ices. Where do you see lemon on the ingredients?
Yeah.
Let the kids treat them like they're educated little people. Like, look at the ingredients. You tell me where you see any sort of something that you even understand the word, you know? So I think the delivery of it is important. You know, people are offering salads at schools. They do, but the kids don't like it because we're so accustomed to the crap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're accustomed to take the Pop-Tart, take the bagel out of the plastic bag, take the muffin out of the plastic bag. It's filling, you know, it's tasty because it loads of sugar. You know, I don't want to, you know, talk down on McDonald's, but there's nothing tasty here, but it's crap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's crap. So present things to the kids in a way where they feel like they have some ownership. I also ask the kids, like, what would you like to put in the smoothie? You know, next week when I bring smoothies, tell me what fruit and vegetable you would like. You know, give them a little bit of ownership. Same thing if they're making in the house with their parents or their families. Be creative. You'll see it's very rare that a kid, if they design their own smoothie and they put, let's say, spinach and stuff, that even if they don't want to say it, they'll say it was good.
Right.
Because they personally did it. They made it. It's their creation.
Yeah.
You know, when someone else gives it to them, it's easy to say, oh, this stinks. This is not that good.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I've been having Aiden, you know, my 4.5-year-old son, obviously Noel, he's been helping me make my smoothies at home, but he's not drinking them yet because a little too many greens going in, stuff he's not familiar with, but he's excited to help me make them.
Not yet. He won't drink it yet. You know what? That's a perfect example. You know, if you know that the greens are what scares them away, then make it without the greens. Make it so it's a really colorful, beautiful, appealing color that he'll want to try it. Because then the next time with the green, he might say, oh, that was delicious. I'll try it. Just a different color.
Yeah. Yeah. We're getting there. And I know you've been down that road, so I'll be getting advice from you. So I guess on that note, why don't we, can you show us something? Can you show us you know, some of the ingredients, or, you know, I think it's a little bit, even for me, right, having recently, I used to go to this, you know, juice shop around down the block every day until COVID came along, and have someone make it for me, because there just seemed like a bit of, I don't know, just that hump to get over mentally as far as getting the ingredients and doing it yourself and cleaning the blender. And in all honesty, it's been fantastic. I mean, since I've been forced to do it, you know, through this quarantine, one of the blessings is I've been forced to do it myself, and it's been so enjoyable.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable. And I usually make enough to last, you know, a couple of days, you know, it's still fresh, you know, on the second day, and I enjoy it. I actually have one, my green mixed fruit veggie blend right here with a ton of ingredients. But yeah, so I think just show us, and I think for people to just see that maybe it's not as hard as they think.
No, it's relatively simple. I mean, I'll show you in a second, but you know, we make smoothies every day in the house. You know, we explore and get different things in there. We got the flaxseed oil, we have the protein powder, some with peanut butter, you know, some with, we buy dates and we put the dates in there. We have a high powered Vitamix that we use for our businesses. And I have a few that are put away now, because we're obviously not functioning at some of the schools. But there are other blenders, because I don't want to show you. I'm going to show you with the Vitamix only because my handheld broke recently. I had it for like 10 years now. I need to purchase another one. But they're very inexpensive, anywhere from like $20 to $30 blenders out there that really would make life very easy, you know? In comparison with a juicer, which I tried back in the day, the juicer is a pain to clean.
Yeah.
Because you get all the pulp and everything.
Yeah.
And it just sits on there, and it, you know, it's discouraging, because after you do it once, you're like, I don't want to go through the hassle of cleaning it. When you're blending, everything is in there. You get all those nutrients, you get all the nutritional fiber. And then when it's done, you rinse it out, you know, soap and water, and you clean the pitcher, basically. You know, but I'll take you out.
Take us over.
Kids need their snack anyway. So I'll throw in, I peeled an orange earlier.
Chad, as you're doing that, a question came through from one of our audience members here. Maddie asked, are you suggesting we should have a smoothie every day? I mean,
we have smoothies every day. I mean, basically, when you talk about a smoothie every day, or you're basically asking, should I have fruits and vegetables every day?
Yeah.
And we know from this country and the whole plan that they have, it's five a day. So are we getting the five a day? And the other thing that you should be doing, everybody should be doing, not just kids who aren't getting the proper nutrients, but adults as well, we should have half of our meal should be fruits and vegetables. So when you look at your plate, it should be half vegetables, half fruit.
Yeah.
So a smoothie a day, excellent way to get your nutrients, fill you up, so you don't want to sit there and eat all the chips and the snacks all the time. But like I said, if you can, when you go shopping, buy many different ingredients that you can just throw in the freezer. You know, frozen, canned, all of that works. You know, it's just finding your groove and what you want to make. Like I said, we make peanut butter sometimes. We throw mango in there. There'll be kiwi. Sometimes we just make juice. I just peel like five oranges, throw them in the Vitamix with a little bit of water. And since the orange is already water-based, you have fresh orange juice.
Yeah.
Obviously it's a little bit more pulpy, but we enjoy that and it's fresh. You know what I mean? You don't know. You get orange juice from a store. It tastes the orange flavor, but is it 100% oranges?
Right. And how long has it been packaged to get to you, you know, whereas you're making it fresh? Cool. So show us what you're
going to do. Yeah. I'll just throw. So like I said, I have a banana. My wife needs to go shopping and get more bananas. So this is a little dirty banana, but we're going to throw the banana in there. When I'm making my smoothies, I would normally put my gloves on, but since I'm making it for myself and I already washed my hands, it's okay.
Cool.
So based on, you know, what you like or what you have in your fridge. So I have a banana in there. I'm going to throw an orange in there. Today I'll throw some milk, you know, it's good to get the calcium in there. make it like an orange, you know, creamsicle. If you have in your house a good additive is throw in some yogurt, you know, that make it a little bit thick, make it a little bit more nutrition bound. But I'll throw in the orange, some ice, and we're going to do a little bit of milk today. I do have some ginger, which is amazing, fresh ginger. Some people like to get the ginger that's in a already ground, and then you can pour that in there. I have the turmeric, but I'll just throw the banana, the orange, the ice. Give me a second.
Sure.
Here's the, just so you could see, it's just a full orange. I peeled it. I don't want anybody to see, think that I, you know, some people put orange juice in their smoothies. That's fine. Some people put apple juice in their smoothies. It's a great liquid base for me and for our business, for the schools. I don't like to put any juices. There's no juice, no nuts, and no dairy. So we have the orange and the banana so far. Some ice.
Now with something like the ginger, do you peel it or do you put it in with the skin? Because I know some people.
I personally peel it.
Yeah.
The Vitamix would definitely eat it. Like when you talk about skin, for instance, a sweet potato. Sweet potato, the skin is full of nutrients, right? That's probably the healthiest part of a sweet potato. So we would throw the sweet potato, the whole sweet potato in our smoothie. And nice. A good one. And I'll give you some recipes that you could share with your audience. But the sweet potato, cinnamon, pineapple, apple, and pear, delish.
Nice. Sounds good.
So we're gonna throw in some regular milk. We like to use almond milk in the house. Sometimes we like to put some coconut water in there, you know? You always want to put a little bit less liquid.
Yeah.
If you put too much liquid, it can be really, really, really loose. And then, you know, it's hard to go back. Then you have to have more produce and keep on adding. Yeah. But you can always add more water. You can always add a little bit more milk. Put this puppy on. Like I said, not everyone's going to have a Vitamix, you know? But this guy is super powerful. Certain blenders just run their course. I mean, I've done it for so long that I know what I'm doing. I'm actually going to get the kids to come down and have it. Daniel, Remy! And then there's the like a beautiful snack, you know?
Nice. So can you recap the ingredients again? Banana?
This was just banana, orange, ice, and some milk.
Oh, creamsicle.
I mean, yeah, just a nice little creamsicle.
These are good.
Say hi, cheers, and then you can go enjoy your nice snack.
How you doing? Cheers. What's up, bud? How are you? Cheers, I got my green juice.
Enjoy your smoothie. Good? Good. So that was, other than me talking to you, that could have taken, you know, a minute and a half.
So simple, man.
And I'll go clean, you know, the blender in 2 seconds. It's not hard. Like I said, that's a, you know, commercial blender. It's like a $500, $600 blender. When you can do the same thing with one of those small Oesters, like, or, you know, one of those handheld that you can get at Target, you can get at Walmart, you can get on Amazon, you can get at any one of those. I highly recommend one of those blenders just to have as part of your, you know, arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not, again, as hard as people think. It just requires some foresight, some planning. And now that we're all home, it's something that people could, you know, could and should, I believe, certainly consider. Like I said, myself, I had to start making at home what I was spending, you know, $7 to $8 a day getting done in the store. I like to get the acai put in and almond butter. Those are, you know, ingredients that add up. But when I found myself shopping in more bulk, at home and making one shot, two or three smoothies that can last for a couple of days. In the big picture, I'm saving money.
Oh, you're saving so much money. And you could, you know, you, like you said before, you're doing this with Aiden. You know what I mean? Aiden is seeing from his role model that this is something positive. This is something good. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, you know, for a lot of the schools that we serve, you know, everybody eats, but, you know, are they eating healthy? So you seeing like it's important to have this or that. And that's the basis of it. But also just being creative with it. Sometimes we take the fruit, the different fruit that we have, and we cut it up and we design like different faces. You know what I mean? And then we have competitions on who can make the best smoothie and who like what smoothie. So there's plenty to do.
Yeah, for sure. Well, look, this has been great. I'd love to, you know, kind of keep bringing you on and just talking about different aspects of this. Maybe next time we could talk a little bit more on the fitness side and demonstrate some things, or every time we bring you on, maybe you could give us a new recipe idea, because, you know, a lot of the conversations I have with you about how to mask different flavors and tastes, we don't have to get into it now, but these are just little nuances that you've learned by making, who knows, over 100,000 smoothies by now.
Oh, yeah, more than that. Yeah, I'd love to get Sinan on there. You know, yeah. Sinan's the athletic director, to talk about the sports and physical side of things. What I've noticed also during this whole COVID thing, which is, you know, really interesting and really important, is that there are so many people that are giving back. They're being creative, you know, and it's in our nature to do that. But we just take for granted. We wait until these big things happen, like 9/11 or COVID, where we come together and we decide to give back. So I'm noticing all these different sites and all these different web pages where people are raising money to send meals to different workers at hospitals, you know, all the healthcare workers, you know, and those are our heroes. You know, I just hope that when we go back to normalcy, people don't forget this. They usually go after a little bit while, as things trickle on, people go back to their norm and we forget about this. Like, we should remember that our children are our heroes every day, you know, and we should be raising money for them every day, not just for my organization, but for every organization. Every kid should be healthy. You know, a lot of these problems would not happen if we all pitched in and made sure every child started off with a healthy, you know, base. And it's sad. It's very sad. And it's a rough time, and people are going through a rough time. We're talking, we're fortunate enough that we can be on Zoom together. We have laptops, but there are a lot of people struggling right now. And I'm really, really, really worried about children when they get back socially, mentally. You know, their education is stalled right now for a lot of them, and their fitness is going way backwards. And they're probably just eating to survive right now, which you can't blame them. So I hope that all of those people who have these, or are so generous and they have these great ideas, that they continue with that when it's done. You know, maybe this was something that was meant to be in the whole scheme of things for the earth, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, brother, I mean, you're someone that I'll just encourage you to keep staying positive and bringing your light, because you are one of those, you know, people that has, when things have been normal and when they get back to normal, has been on this mission. It's a very generous and much needed and inspiring vision and mission that you're on. And you know, your worry is noted, but so is your effort to kind of educate and help shed some light on ways that we can all be healthier, regardless of age, kids, adults, regardless of the economic, you know, scenario. But of course, those more in need and that have less means are ones that we need to be much more creative and show more willpower to support. To that end, what can we do now while we're still in this quarantine and in the pandemic and the current mode? Like, put out a challenge right now for everyone, like you said, about people coming up supporting hospital workers. What can we do for the kids that are at home? Can we raise some money? Can we give away some blenders? Can we, what is it we can do? I mean, can you think of something on the spot or something?
No, it's been on my mind. I mean, you know, when I talk to you now and in the past when we've discussed things, it's like, oh yeah, go buy a blender. You know, if we had these big companies that are looking to donate, someone like an Oster or some of these other companies that make things, make blenders, maybe they can donate them. But I think that, you know, people, like I just said, people are being generous. Maybe they could look at, you know, what they're doing once this is over, or they could start to give money to certain nonprofits, maybe research some nonprofits, local and national, and, you know, ask to see what's coming from it. Like Sinan and I, you know, like one of the things we talked about is having college students or people from different companies come volunteer and help us. Come see, come be on the front line with us. Come meet these children. You know what I mean? A lot of times people just write a check and they pat themselves on the back that they gave a donation and they just want to write off. You know, times have to change, you know, but to be creative at home, the only thing I can say is just, you know, love your family, enjoy the time you have with them right now, but at the same time, try and help each other, you know, doing homework together. Pay attention to what they're doing in school. Help them cook together, you know, maybe invent some games together. I just played chess against my kids last night. You know, it's incredible. Like when you're in your normal day in the hustle, there's no time to do that. We played a few different games of chess each. You know what I mean? Awesome. Read books with my kids, which I'm fortunate enough that I'm home a lot of the times, so I get to do that. But the fact that my wife is working from home helps that we all eat together, you know? But when it comes to the education of, you know, nutrition, you have to try, everybody has to try their best to just do a little bit more and to eat a little bit better, because the pounds are going to tack on, the depression's going to tack on, and it's going to be really hard when they get back to school, you know. Yeah. And we're going to be in an uphill battle. So if people can donate money to different programs that do well for children, and also just, you know, maybe, I mean, I'm still working on seeing if I can get some free blenders.
Yeah.
You know, the unfortunate thing is you get a free blender and you see it in the news now, saw it in New York City schools. People are, you know, they're getting their free iPads and then someone in the family is selling it, yeah. You know, because unfortunately they need to survive. The iPad's great, but we need food. So that iPad becomes food, you know,
yeah,
or pays rent. So there are a lot of good people doing a lot of good things out there. I just, you know, I pray for the earth every day and everybody on it, especially the children. And we'll get through this, and we'll get back to work, and hopefully a lot of these people can see, all right, we have a big obesity issue. Forget COVID. We have to work on, you know, fixing that first. So when we come against something like this again, we're fit. Our country we have the most deaths in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because we're extremely obese.
Yeah. Yeah, so we need to work on ways of building our immunity in a natural, as natural as possible to take this on. So Chad, in final word, just let the audience know where they can learn more about and keep up to date with what you're doing with the organization, how they might be able to, you know, contribute or donate.
They can go to sipsandkicks.org and you can donate there. You could reach out to us, email, if you want to have a conversation, you want to talk, so I can tell you more about what we do. And then just check out any other organizations too that are doing great by children.
Yeah. And then your social media as well, handles on what?
Sips and Kicks.
Okay. Sips and Kicks. Okay. Let's see if we've got any more questions here. We've got had a couple of nice comments from our audience today. I think that's it for now. But look, this is the beginning of an ongoing, there's a continuation of a conversation we're going to hopefully continue to have and continue to raise awareness. And again, one of the blessings of this challenging situation is that people are finding creative ways like this to connect more. And we don't have to get into a studio and spend, you know, $10,000 of studio space to get mic'd up and have an educational conversation that we can share with others. So it's great to have this. Let's keep doing it.
All right, awesome. Next time we'll do some jumping jacks and push-ups in between our conversation.
So I want to thank Chad for the enlightening conversation on the real health epidemic, which is childhood and adult obesity, diabetes, and other kinds of health factors that are all really under our control. And the way Chad lines it up, basics, back to basics, basic health, basic nutrition, basic daily activity, the things that we're somehow missing amidst all the other distractions that we have. Well, hopefully during this time when everyone's home in quarantine, we have a time to turn more inward and focus on some of getting back to some of those basics. So we'll continue the conversation with Chad and some of his colleagues from Sips and Kicks in future weeks. But as for now, April 20th, 2020, thank you for tuning in. Catch the next episode of the Polymath Project this Wednesday, April 22nd, when I bring on one of my mentors and great friends and one of the world's top thought leaders, the CEO's futurist, David Hoole, who's going to talk about how 2020 is going to be one of the beginning of the most transformative decade that we've seen in ages. Please don't miss that. 1 o'clock Eastern this Wednesday, April 22nd. Signing off, March 4th.